Welcome to Overtime and Inferno, your weekly roundup of all the biggest stories in CS2, quicker than I can get rid of my co-host. So, I haven't done that intro in a while. It's actually very odd. I'm Logan. I'm missing Elliot this week. We talked about this last week a little bit. Elliot is in Abu Dhabi for the Blast World Finals, which meant I was left alone with no one to do this with. So I contacted someone that hasn't been on the show yet, but who I've asked to be on the show before, and we finally got the dates and the times to work out. So for the next 45 minutes of your time, you'll be hearing me and Darf Mike talk about all of North America and all of the weird shit that's been happening with the constant stream of roster moves in the last couple months. Enjoy. Welcome, everyone. I want to welcome Darf Mike to the pod. I have some notes here. I'll go through them quickly on who you are, and then you can add to the end if you want, or if I've screwed anything up. You helped found Mustache Masters, the premier men's charity tournament for Counter-Strike in North America, who I've lost four games at over the past 2 years. You will be attending ESL Atlanta Challengers in tomorrow, or 2 days.
Two days.
A day after this comes out. You were just in Copenhagen at Blast Fall Finals. You and I have also done work with Mimi. I've done one analyst gig with her. That's it. That's the only common thread I could come up with.
Okay.
It's for Super League 3 years ago. And you were casting Mythic League last night, which I only found out about because I saw a clip of Flom getting made fun of. That's it. Did I miss anything?
Just before this. You know, that sounds about right. You know, I've been working as a caster and host for going on 7 years now, something like that. 6-7 years. NA Evangelist is the thing in my Twitter bio. It's about accurate. But yeah, all those things are true, I believe.
All right. Well, I've got some NA related questions for you.
Sure.
I think let's just start right off the top. Team Liquid, they have a new team. They're a little bit different than what they were before.
Sure.
But also a little bit same of what they were before, but like way before. Yeah. So what's your gut reaction? What's the gut feeling?
On like how good they are, or
let's start with how good they are and then how good they will be in 8 months. Because I think those are two different metrics.
This is a team built to lift trophies and win a major. Okay. I think this team is like in a lab. If you just gave me the data points, holy shit.
So you moneyballed it. They
you start. Well, it's not even moneyball. We broke out the money. They're trying to be the Yankees. This is not the budget choice.
They're the Dodgers with Shohei Ohtani.
Yes. They just bought Shohei Ohtani. Like maybe they could have made a bigger splash, but this is a better roster than you could have trying to buy super. Like this is better than Falcons, whatever the hell they're going to wind up with. This is sick.
Liquid roster of disappointment.
Liquid came into this saying, we're tired of losing. We're tired of not having a top end competitive team. We are a prestige org. We are, you know, one of the quintessential orgs of the Counter-Strike space. Let's win some fucking games. And I'm really excited about the construction. I'll just go through bit by bit. You got Kadian. Kadian is one of the premier IGLs in the ecosystem right now. Right?
I'd say top three right now.
Easily.
Like him, Kerrigan, Snappy.
The Danes, man. It's just the Danes. But like he never should have been on the market. Tomfoolery with Heroic is the only reason you can even get him. So Liquid snatch that opportunity, right? Immediately go, all right, this is our guy. Twists wants to come back. Holy cow, he's like a top rifler in the world, right? Like pretty much undebatably like the top five rifler in the world. He's you should have had him as your homegrown talent. He never should have left. Now he's back, top end player onto the team. You can move Yekindar off of the IGL with one of the few captains where he's probably just insta like, yeah, no, this is fine. I'm okay with giving this up. You know, you're not going to have that like constant IGL regret some players go through where they're like, maybe I could do this better. Nah, it's fucking Kadian, man. So they're going to pick him up. You got Naf. Who is just the unshakable pillar of this team, kind of the perfect player, right? Like he's great. Then you have Skulls coming in. He's the one where maybe, like, maybe it's a question mark. Obviously, it would have been even sicker if they had Caicedo, purely from a track record perspective. Caicedo, why did you break up this absolute dream team? But Skulls is nuts. I've been on the Skulls train for a long time now, having watched a ton of pain when they were tearing through North America. Like, I think this guy's going to develop. The real one question is, like, how does he adapt to calming in English? How does he adapt to a new system? We haven't really seen that yet. But everything I've ever heard, every time I've ever spoken to him, there's nothing to make me believe he can't develop into that player.
We used to talk about, like, Ellie and I used to talk about Liquid as there was Patsy and Naf over here. Mm-hmm. Patsy and Naf? Where am I going? Sorry, there were two players over here, and there are two players over here. One group of player with Yukindar was very aggressive, and one group of players with Naf was very passive. Mm-hmm. And then you had OC in the middle trying to hold everyone together, and it felt like he was trying to do the tug of war. I have already forgotten.
Patsy, Rain Waker, Naf would be
I already forgot who was on the Team Liquid EU team. I've just blocked it out of my mind already. It didn't exist.
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit of a failure. I mean, Patsy's the one that's surprising. Surprised he didn't have more success. He's kind of fallen off massively this year, and I'm not sure why, frankly. I don't have any answer for that. I mean, he was coming into the year looking so exciting with Spirit, looking like he could be that next great Rifler entry space taker, and it just, I don't know where it went. Rain Waker was always a little bit of a head scratcher, right? They were saying he made no mistakes. It's like, well,
I saw a lot of mistakes. I watch a lot of Liquid. Saw a lot of mistakes.
That was one of those where you're like, okay, we'll trust the scouting until they, you know, prove otherwise. And it just never materialized into what they were hoping. The only thing I'm sad about on this new team is that OC's not on it, right?
Yeah.
I love OC. We'll talk about OC booster. But it does make sense. You know, if he wants to keep on the op role, you're not going to move Kadian off the op role. Even if you look at the Twists interview that he did with HLTV, one of the things he was talking about is that having an IGL who is an opper means that there's a position freed up for a Rifler for him to do exactly what he wants to do. So it's like all the dominoes fell for it just not, OC didn't work in the roles on this team. And I'm excited for OC on NRG. So it wound up working out okay.
The super interesting thing is how flexible this team is because there's Kadian playing op and IGL. It leaves the four Rifles, as you said, and then Twists on his own is in a class of like three players of the most flexible players ever. It's like him, Majisk, and Shush can kind of play anything. And so then you just have, you leave Naf, Yukindar, and Skulls to play whatever they want, and everyone else will kind of just fill in, which makes it easier to integrate the team early on. So in the next like 6 months, like what's our definition of like, this is good?
They need to make the major.
I'd agree with that. I'd be really upset if they didn't make the major.
They need to make the major. They're going through the America's RMR. I mean, look, this qualification process is going to be weird with the swap to the new game, but I see no reason why they won't make the major. They realistically should make Legends at the major, but that's hard to say just because it's so early on. But I think that's what this is what the team is built to be. In contention for the major trophy. Now, is that going to be in Copenhagen or is it going to be in Shanghai? I don't know. Copenhagen's more of a question mark. Shanghai, it has to be.
Yeah. In my head, it's like the first major, you're happy you get to it. You're happy you get a bunch of good reps in with good teams. You're looking at the second major. Not that I don't think this team's going to be good right away. I just think this is one of those like slow burn simmer kind of, you need to buy into this a little bit to get everyone on the same page.
I'm not sure. I think Liquid are doing everything that they can to get this team ready as soon as possible. I was very encouraged by the signing of, or by the acquisition. I don't know if it counts as a signing. Yeah. Mindbody Esports, Edward Clellan coming
in.
Not so much like, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in mental coaches or psychologists, His track record speaks for itself in that he's had a strong record of joining a team, being brought on, and then them having success. So it's like, those are the data points I can go to. You know, I'm not really gonna pretend to know, you know, I've talked to him a few times, they're good conversations, but you know, I'm not no expert there. But what it means is that Liquid are serious about investing not just in the team but about building support staff around them to say, we're gonna get on the same page as quickly as possible, we're gonna get this team on the same page as quickly as possible, we're gonna get them geared up. And then the question is, I mean, there's like some minor ones with language of Skulls and Kadian adapting to calming in English after not doing it for a while, but bump in the road. I think
zero concerns about Kadian calming in English.
Yeah, no, no, no. Not it's literally just like there might be an adjustment period. Yeah. I have no concerns long term. It's just like, you know, you got to switch your brain, basically. But the guy speaks, certainly Cadian's done it before on Rogue as well.
He speaks better English than me. I was born in New York. Like, I can speak English pretty well, supposedly.
Supposedly.
Supposedly. All right. I want to talk about the other NA team. One of the other NA teams. I'm skipping over complexity for right now. They're doing great. Okay. They don't need to be talked about at the moment in this light. NRG. They're the new kids on the block. They're putting a good chunk of money into this as well. Because Andy Miller came out and basically said NA is exactly where everything where NRG needs to be. And so they put together this roster, which I had some questions to start with.
Okay.
I like OC. I'm in on OC.
Sure.
Daps is playing. That's where my questions really start. It's not that I don't trust Daps, but
it's every not like time you don't trust Daps.
It's not that I don't trust Daps, but I kind of don't trust Daps.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of big question marks. This one's much more of a risk, right? This is not going in for a proven thing. This is, you know, Liquid's assembling the top end players that they can get. NRG's building a fresh NA project. This is fresh. We don't know. We don't have the track record here. Daps hasn't played since 2022 a little bit. I mean,
he played this year one event. Yeah, he played a blast event this year. And
last time he really played was a stand-in.
It was Gen G last time you really played.
Yeah, he had a brief Orglis stack that he tried to make around an MDL with or whatever it was in 2022. But Gen G was 2020. Yeah. So realistically, the last time he's been on a full end team playing on LAN in a big way, 2020. Yeah, he had the briefest of stints filling in for Liquid. I'm not going to qualify that, frankly. That was also the death knell of CSGO before the swap over to the new game. So there's like 50 different asterisks on that. But I watched him last night up against Wildcard, who are no slouches. And
yeah, that's the Stanislaw team for everyone that doesn't know all the NA stuff.
So good back and forth there in terms of storylines. But frankly, I was very pleasantly surprised on a pure mechanical skill level. NRG were definitely going through growing pains. We saw it early in that series, right? They started out with like getting 10-2'd on Inferno, and then they ran it back into an overtime. They still lost, but they won this series, all told. And Wildcard are no slouches. That is looking like a very exciting team as well. Daps was fine mechanically. Daps had some good rounds mechanically. Daps had some good plays. I think that time will tell the story of that. I don't think he's going to suddenly be a star fragging IGL.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever has been. I don't think he needs to be. We've entered an era where, you know, this whole argument that the IGL needs to kill 20 has kind of fallen off. Kerrigan, Snappy, best IGLs in the world, right? Obviously, it's great if he guys a fragger, but it doesn't have to happen. The proof will be in the pudding. I just don't know how Daps is going to be. To me, the bigger question mark on this team is what the hell kind of form is Breezy going to find?
Yeah, well, there were more questions coming, the second of which is Breezy?
Yeah.
In 2023?
I'm fine with it. I'll tell you why.
What? Please, pitch me.
So,
I'm ready.
Here's the thing. Breezy, whichever version we're going with.
I've never figured out which one it is, by the way.
I haven't either. I was talking about it last night. But on NRG, the last time, top player in the world. Top rifler in the world. And I don't mean like in NA. Yeah. I mean world. He was the HLTV top 20.
This was just before they had swapped to Evil Geniuses in IAM New York in like 2020.
This is 2020.
2019.
He was the number 20 HLTV best player in the world in 2020. And he was the number 8 in 2019. So is the talent there? Abso-fucking-lutely it is. Did he get ground down by years of playing in Evil Geniuses, an org that we know from a million different data points turns things to shit?
Yeah.
Absolutely he did. By the end of his tenure on EG, I don't think Breezy was playing the game, frankly. I mean, like outside of practice.
I don't think anyone was playing the game at that point. Like
exactly. And so if you want to take the risk of bringing him back in for what is probably not a top shelf salary at this point, if you want to bring in the chance that he's still got it, that he can return to it, I'll tell you this much. In the opening moments of CS2, his ass was top of the Premier leaderboard. He was playing a lot of the new game. And so if that spark's relit for him, absolutely worth rolling the dice to see if he can be a top end player again. He's reached peaks that, you know, only a handful of NA players have ever sniffed.
Yeah. Fang and Hexed, I'm a little, I have less questions on, which I know may sound a little surprising, but there has to be some room in this team to grow a little bit. And unfortunately, there's not a million NA players available that are like people that I would put into this team instantly. So these are players who can grow. So it doesn't lead me to like that same kind of question.
Yeah. So speaking about both of them, I've been fans of both these players for a long time. I've watched them on their come up through the scene. I'll talk about Fang first. Fang, I think, absolutely needed to be replaced in complexity. That makes sense. Elise was an upgrade. That was the right move. But here's the thing about Fang. People forget how young he is. This was
like
his
21
first
or something like that.
Real stint into top end competitiveness. And when you compare him to a player like Floppy or like Grimm, those guys took a few circuits through different teams, through different orgs before they really found their footing. To me, that's Fang, because in complexity, he had moments, he had flashes, he had maps where he absolutely took over and dominated. But he was streaky. He was inconsistent. If he had a bad start to a map, he could never recover in it. He could, you know, sometimes he just needed a 3K to get going, and then he was the best player on the server. He was just inconsistent, which is a hallmark of a young player, of an inexperienced player. And to me, he was always a guy where when he got removed from complexity, I thought, great, take a little bit of time, reset mentally, get in on the next project. I honestly thought he would wind up in M80. I was a little surprised he didn't wind up in that M80 team. But I think this is a great spot for him. I think he's got another accomplished in-game leader in Daps. I think he's got a lot of veterans around him who've gotten that experience now. You know, Breeze, Daps, OC even, right? And I think that takes some of the shine, some of the pressure away from him. I think it's going to be interesting to see whether he or Breeze get put into star roles on a lot of maps, because I think you could choose to feature either one, and they're both risks for either way. But I really do think Fang's going to step up in this next run at tier one. I think Fang could be, I think people were out on Fang too early. I think he's going to be a guy. Every time I've talked to him, he wants to put in the work. He wants to be there. He's very reasonable in his mindset. He's very intelligent in his mindset about what it takes to be a competitor. He looks up to people who grind, people who put in time, people who put in work. I think he's absolutely got the tools to be a top player. So I think that one makes absolute sense, and I think NRG are going to be rewarded for that choice.
All right,
the Hex. I'll talk about Hex.
You want to talk about Hex? We've done absolutely four. There's no reason not to talk about
Hex. Only problem is that he just gives too much. I kind of mean that as a joke. I kind of mean that for real. Hex is super mechanically skilled, right? I think he fell into a weird rut in that Evil Geniuses roster where he knew he was the entry, he knew he was the space taker, and he maybe got a little too willing to die sometimes.
Yeah. So I had watched Hex for a while, especially when he was on RBG. I had casted some of his games. I was around for a bunch of them. I've basically internally decided that all Evil Genius players just haven't played for the last 3 years or however long they've been on Evil Geniuses. That's just kind of my internal idea.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be a black hole. And so with Hexed, I'm thinking of the form he was on RBG, which was a great form. And he was really good at being the entry on RBG. But that was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And that's where my questions start to come. It's kind of the same tone as Breezy has. And I guess Fang, for that matter, is like this. Be quiet, phone. A year and a half ago. Great.
To me, it's very different. I actually think I disagree with you.
Okay.
I agree that a lot of players fell off in EG and got into ruts. I think that we can partially blame Hex's performance on that, but at the end of the day, coming back to, you know, the EG Black roster that then became the main EG roster kind of was the solution to that, right? He and Walco had been together for a million years. That was comfort. That was coming back into a place of comfort, having Axe back in there who was with them in the RBG days. You know, that was a structure that he could play from. And I don't think he ever got out of the mentality of the grind set, if that makes sense. I mean, I don't know. But what I do know is that it's not like he was a top end player who then came into EG and got disillusioned. No, he was still trying to punch up. He was still trying to make that debut, trying to find that space. The thing about an entry is that if a team is not doing well,
the entry looks terrible.
an entry is going to look terrible. If you are a space taker, if you are designed to set up your teammates to get the kills and take the site, and they can't get the kills and take the site, the hell are you doing?
You just go and die for nothing then. And it sucks.
It is very tough to have good stats and to show good and to look good as a player if the team's not working, if the team's not clicking, if the team's not executing. I think he looked better in the return to EG Black, frankly, than he did with the main team for all the reasons that we've talked about before. But here's the thing. CS2 is a blessing for an entry.
Oh,
CS2
yeah.
CS2 is like, oh, you go in first. Congratulations. Here's like a plus 0.4 bump in your rating just right off the rip. CJ is the best player on nouns, right? Like, we're seeing this everywhere. Entries are having a fucking field day. And Hext is that guy. He is a space taker. He is a fly into the angle first. And I think this is a roster that's going to reward him for that.
It's the CS2 is the best news for NA in a very long time. We love to wide swing. There's nothing about it. We love to wide swing. And
I think that was my first tweet after I finally got the beta was like, after a little while of playing it, I was like, if they don't fix Peeker's advantage, NA is going to win everything.
It's the reason Complexity are so good.
There you go.
They're just better. NA,
they're just better.
NA's just better. Yeah. All right. I have a middle topic before we go back to NA.
Sure.
So we saw two coaching changes with a third possible to occur, maybe, in like the last day and a half, with Taz joining G2 and Exist leaving Heroic with the rumor of Saw joining Heroic.
I missed the Exist news, actually.
Yeah, so Exist got announced like 4 hours ago.
Oh, okay. That explains why I missed it.
Yeah. And then it came out that Heroic is trying to sign Nerds, SunPius, Madden, and Saw.
Sure.
that was my answer to this. Which leads me to the question I have. We're going into Blast Worlds, which starts on Thursday.
Okay.
Or starts tomorrow on Wednesday.
Yep.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 8 teams are either dead or have brand new players, mm-hmm. or in the case of Ents, maybe both.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on here? Why? How have we gotten to the point that we're at the end of the year and we have an event that's like $1 million prize pool, and there are... The amount of asterisks I had to put on the list of teams here, mm-hmm. of just like, oh, it's FaZe, but they have Frozen now. Oh, it's G2, but they have Nexa and Taz. How did we get here?
You're acting like this isn't every year. This is every year for the Blast World Finals. This is the end of the season, right? Like, if you're not the guy making the move first, you're not going to get the player. The reality is, I think the Twist interview on HLTV kind of revealed this to people. Players are in negotiations for months. If they're not part of the future and they know about it, they're trying to find their next spot. They've got agents. They've got teams to set this up, right? We're at a point where a player is, as we've seen from buyouts, like $500,000 prospect, $1 million prospect, right? Like, this is big money business. Knowing your next spot is important, having that stability, having that future. So this is always happening, right? Like, teams are always in flux. Teams are always dead. We know that rosters are dead, if not already announced their players, right? Like,
yeah.
Even if we're looking back at the Blast Fall Final, Heroic was a dead roster. Astralis was a dead roster, and we knew it, right?
The Heroic and Astralis being a dead roster, to me, is not something that happens every year. This year seemed to be a weird year with that because of the whole stabby thing.
Yeah, but it's a new game. It's a new game. CS2 is a new game. It's a new frontier. That's always going to accelerate silly season because teams want to be good early in a new game. Everyone wants to be NIP going 87-0. Everyone wants to stamp themselves when the attention's going to be biggest. That first major, viewership is going to be stupid big. It's the first CS2 major.
It's so weird because I've said for a while, it's like, oh, we're going to have a big roster move thing right before CS2.
Hmm.
And then right after the major. In my head, that made sense, right? We're going to have one then, and everyone's going to get used to the game, playing the major, and then go, okay, we figured out what worked, what doesn't work. We, TLDR, this podcast, has done like 2 or 3 roster move episodes a year, right? We get like one during each big roster move, and then like one will happen every once in a while that we have to do. We've done 4 weeks in a row, just in like the last month, because it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And it's everyone, it's this arms race from everyone trying to be at this first major and do well. But part of my like issue is like, if you don't stick with something for any given length of time, how do you know it's going to work or not?
Well, so it's also, there's a few factors. It's not just CS2. It is CS2. It's also the introduction of Falcons, you know, splashing cash, making a ton of waves early on. That's a big one. Zonic, that's a seismic shift, right?
Yeah.
That there's a new player who's trying to acquire top end talent. That changes things. It's also that a lot of other orgs are retracting their budgets. The esports winter is real, right? There's not a lot of money being splashed. I mean, you could see it in the negotiations with G2. I still think the JKS move is probably a salary dump.
We're certain about that here.
Yeah,
we know anything, but because why else would you do it if it wasn't a salary thing?
There's a lot of that going on. So you have a few different currents kind of all meeting to make this eddying whirlpool. You have new game. No one knows who's going to be good. No one knows what's going to be valued. So everyone's trying to, you know, make the splash early on and shore up their team. You have Saudis coming in with Falcons making big splash financially. That's like throwing the rock into the pond, you know, sending ripples out. You've got other teams having weakening current because their money not so good. So if you're going to sign your Nico for however the heck much he's got, maybe you have to lose a JKS. That changes things. And then, you know, you just have a lot of teams that didn't have great seasons as well, right? Like, it was kind of a weird year. Dying game, new game. It's flux. It's change, you know, chaos is a ladder and everyone's trying to climb.
I got to say, it's really funny that in Europe, we see like budgets going down and we see teams like going, oh, we want to bring these new players in because they're cheaper than these other players. And in NA, we've got NRG joining. We've got M80 joining. We've got Liquid trying to build a super team. Liquid's kind of half NA, half not NA because of the Dutch influence, but we have investment here, and
they're
it seems
NA. We're calling them NA in CS. They're NA.
I'm agreeing on that. They participate in the LCS as well. They're an NA org.
Yeah.
But everywhere else, it's money's being pulled back.
Why?
All over Europe. It's so weird to me that somehow we flipped, and it used to be like NA wasn't the one spending.
Yeah, I mean, so here's the reality. Like, here's why I think it's happening. Again, a few factors that combine to this current. It's not like the investment in Europe is going away.
No.
All the orgs are sticking around. They're just tightening their belts a little bit and being like, hey, could you take like a slightly smaller salary? Mm-hmm. In NA, it's a change in a few things. It's new game. We like the shiny new things. We like eyeballs on. It's player salaries have gotten very devalued in North America, so contracts are probably a lot friendlier. I don't know what the numbers are, but I don't think Breezy's getting 20K or 30K or whatever the hell he was on in that EG roster. Salaries are much lower, so buying in an SCS team is a much more appetizing prospect if, you know, you're paying everybody 3, 4, 5K instead of paying everybody 8, 9, 20K. So it's a lot easier to justify having that team on your books. The opportunity is massive because, okay, Liquid's back, but they're still kind of EU. They're going to be competing in EU most of the year. Complexity are the kingpins right now. But if you're NRG, you're looking back at that Complexity roster and going, wait, we were better than them, than those five players, you know, in our situation X number of years ago, we could do it again. And here's a great one. Shout outs to Riot for really shooting their tier two scene in the absolute foot, because an org like M80 went, don't know how much room there actually is for growth here. Let's look to other shores. You know, all those teams that were splashing a shit ton of money into Valorant and didn't get into the franchise league and are seeing the path up and seeing all the issues with it are thinking, maybe there's a better return on investment somewhere else. And look, in CS, life has been expensive for a long time, but if you're talking about eyeballs on in viewership, if you're talking about potential returns from sticker money, as Enz has shown, there is money to be made here if you're playing smart.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things. The funniest esports story of the year is the Guard going under as they qualified for VCT.
That one sucked.
I feel so bad for all the players, but I'm watching it happen. You know exactly what's going to happen, and you're watching it happen in slow motion. Of
what?
It's like of Stan Kroenke comes out and goes, oh, I'm selling everything. And then the teams just starts winning and winning and winning. It's terrifying.
It's like EG, you know, all the rumors about all the mismanagement at EG, they win the dang Valorant championship.
Yeah.
And then the next week, it's like, well, they asked them all to take a pay cut. And then the next week, it's like, they fired everybody. Then the next week, it's like, whole org's gone.
My favorite thing of the year was in the esports award and the video game award that both had esports team of the year. And the qualification was a specific team, not the organization. And EG Valorant was put up for both. And I had absolutely no problem voting for EG Valorant as team of the year for stuff. I couldn't go further. So I want to dive a little deeper into some of these Blast World rosters. Mm-hmm. The phase with Frozen thing, the Cool Brothers.
Cool.
I'm in.
Yeah.
It's like you didn't drop a step. And if there's any, the question that I think most people have is, we talked about Twist, how he's super flexible, and Frozen isn't that super flexible player. In my head, I just don't care, because Kerrigan exists.
I think he can be. Here's the thing, right? It's kind of the same effect of what Raps was towards the end of his time in MAUS. Frozen was better than all of his teammates.
Yeah.
I really like that MAUS roster. I'm not trying to shit talk any of them. It was just, he was clearly the best player.
Yeah.
Right. And you knew that. And, mm-hmm. and everyone on the team knew that. And when you are clearly the best player on a roster and everybody knows that, you could take all the bait roles. You could take all the roles where, you know, you're the guy getting set up. You're the guy making the play. You're the guy making the move. Cause you're the king. He's not that on phase. He's not that on phase. Rops is, right. Brokey's the op. Rops is, the model of what Frozen wants to be, right? So I don't think Frozen is inflexible. I think Frozen has been inflexible, but I'd imagine they're going to try some different things. I'd imagine there's going to be a little bit of blend there. And Frozen's smart, young, and incredibly talented. So maybe there's an adjustment period, but I'm not really worried about it. It's kind of like one of those things where, yeah, if you're FaZe, you never wanted to lose Twist. Twist is the perfect player to make work in a roster. Like, you never wanted to lose him. But if you had to lose him, this is the best you could have done.
Yeah. Everything's all over the place, man. MAUS and Brolin. So I want to preface this. The reason I want to talk about this is because Elliot and I did a podcast last week where we talked about how the Swedish scene is more dead than North America.
Okay.
Because it seems like Brolin's been the only guy. And I want to point this out because someone on YouTube left us, and I seriously mean this, a 3-page long comment about Swedish up and coming talent, and which I read through the entire thing, am now convinced Sweden is good, and have nothing else to say other than the fact that Brolin and Suhi sounds disgusting if everything is true that I read. That's my bit on this. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
I
think he's a good get for MAUS. I think that, I mean, the shine obviously came off of him in his previous stint in Fnatic and then in NIP. But also, like, again, it's kind of the EG argument of look at team context. Like, what has NIP done well in 2 years? NIP made better as a team? Hedrick. I think it's Hedrick. Like, Hedrick's done all right.
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
That's it. Every single one of their academy players that they've brought up has looked worse and worse every minute of staying in the team. Plopsky was supposed to be the star coming in years ago. Rez is not anywhere close to the promised player that he was. Like,
so yeah, like, I'm willing to give Brolin some slack. I'm really, and if there's a team that has developed talent, team that has gotten the best out of everyone who has joined it, that is MAUS. You know, Cycrone deserves, like, so frankly, if props. We weren't just going on trophies, he should be coach of the year. Like, he has done an astounding job elevating and integrating players. So if there's a roster to go to, if you're Brolin, if you're still, he's 21, right? He's
21?
Yeah, he's a baby.
That guy's younger than me.
He's barely played. Right. In the grand scheme of things, his career has barely started. So if you want to try and bring that young talent and see if he can't shine in a team, great move on Brolin's part. Right. I don't know who his agent is or what it is, but if when he got benched on NIP, he just said, get me onto MAUS.
Good job.
Smart move. Smart move. Take a year contract at like a fraction of what your salary should be just to get on that damn team. If you're going to get your career back on track, it's Mouse.
Yeah. We talked about that. All right. Let's talk about North America again.
Okay.
I want to talk about the other teams.
Let's do it.
About the complexities. It's
my favorite thing to talk about.
I want to talk about the nouns. I want to talk about the M80s. There's one spot for us to qualify in the major. It's like one or two spots, right? It's very few amount of actual RMR spots. I should know this.
Four?
Ryan has me coming on to go talk to yell about the RMR, and I don't even know about the RMR.
We have, you mean to qualify into the RMR or into the major?
To qualify into the RMR. I think there's more. Never mind. There's five total spots to qualify into the major from the RMR.
Yeah, we got one back with Liquid coming back. Or actually with Liquid killing their roster was actually what did it, funnily enough. Right. Liquid changed enough that Valve was like, it's not a consistent core anymore. Give it back to NA. So shout outs to Liquid for that one.
So there's five spots.
Mm-hmm.
And we assume Furia will get one. And we assume Complexity will get one.
That's safe.
And I can pretty clearly assume Liquid will get one.
It's probably safe, yeah.
And now we start asking questions. The couple of teams left, the Nouns team, I'm going to pretend Evil Geniuses doesn't exist because I don't expect them to exist into the RMR.
They will not exist by the end of this year, yeah.
Yep.
They're a dead org.
Party the Astronauts.
Eyes, to my knowledge, dead.
Party Astronauts. The badass team that just won Fragacago. Wild Card. What's the actual chances of these guys making the RMR and then making the major over a lot of these like more well-known teams that like from Brazil?
I think the RMR is going to be a bloodbath right now.
Okay.
I think this RMR in particular is going to be real weird. This is also the first event that's going to use the Valve ranking.
Yes,
right,
it will use the Valve ranking.
Hold on, pulling up.
I've got Valve it. Ranking. So it's got Complexity, then Furia, then MIBR, the 9Z, Liquid, Pain, M80, Red Canids. The problem that we start running into is that we start getting to the Brazilian teams that I know a single player on because they played somewhere, and I don't know the other four players, but there's 12 of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's like eight teams like this. It's hilarious.
I think the teams that should... So I don't know who's going to make it. I think we should establish who should be upset if they don't make it.
Yeah, I think we can clearly say Liquid, Complexity, Furia would all be very upset if they do not make the major.
The expectation is they make the major. For MIBR, the expectation is that they make the major. For I don't really know what this Pain team looks like, I'll be honest.
No, I haven't watched Pain in a really long time.
Has also gone through changes. They've just added Martinez, which is going to be very interesting.
Yeah,
but they're a team that should be contending for it. I don't know exactly what their form is right now.
The big problem
Red
with
Canids,
the big problem with 9Z recently is they haven't been playing with Tri, so they lost a lot of firepower not playing with Tri anymore.
Martinez should upgrade that.
Should help with
very talented on the op. I think M80 should expect to make certainly the RMR, and they are contending to make the major.
Yeah, hold on. Before you continue, I want to remind everyone when it goes on, there is a North American Open RMR where all North American teams...
Qualifier.
RMR that qualifier. RMR. That's what it is, yeah. A North American Open RMR qualifier that a bunch of teams sign up for and then fight out, and then a couple of teams go into the actual America's RMR. The same thing happens in South America. I'm pretty sure all the teams not named Furia have to fight their way through those qualifiers. I believe that's right. There's a couple teams that may be in. There's a couple teams that will be invited based on regional standings.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, they got to fight their way through.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that I know exactly who's going to shake out. We'll have a better idea of that towards the beginning of the year. I'm just looking at standings right now to tell you who I think has a reasonable chance of making it in and who I think, I don't know.
Has less of a reasonable chance.
Yeah, I haven't been impressed with Nouns lately, to be honest. I think they've fallen off a little bit in terms of consistency, which is disappointing because they've had more opportunities for EU boot camps lately. But I mean, it'd be cool to see them go. They've got a ton of individual skill. It's just I've been a little uninspired with them recently. Boss is impressing the hell out of me. They're raw enough, but they've got a spot in the ESL Pro League. I think they can upset some teams. Cryptic as an IGL, as a player, is impressing the hell out of me. They really came out of nowhere this ECL season. They've made the Pro League now.
Didn't they make the closed RMR last year? Or am I thinking of a totally different team?
They did make it to the RMR.
Yeah.
And then what this team was last year, they were the ones who had health issues and then had a player have a passport issue, and so they couldn't attend.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That was they've been growing. They've been on the growth this last year, and they continue to do so, which is exciting. Wild card is a big question mark. I really don't know. JBA is very exciting. Stanislaw has been playing very well. There's the possibility to make good on this. Classia is listed with them. He's not playing with them unless that's going to be Sonic instead, unless there's something that I've missed.
I think it just didn't officially happen yesterday when it was updated. I think it's just been like said it's happening and he's been playing with them kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think about who else could be a big push.
The problem is we're scrolling pretty far here and there's a lot of teams that could be like a good shout to go through. Like we didn't talk about Party Astronauts. They're always a possibility of getting through.
Yeah, they are. They've been very streaky lately and they've not done well in the big pressure moments. I'm failing to make Pro League was a bad one. And I think they're a little dependent on individual form right now. It'd be cool to see them. It'd be very cool to see them. They got me more excited in this run, you know, since Viz and 60 have come back in than I have been in a long time for them. But that's not an expectation. That's an it'd be cool. NRG is an expectation.
Yeah, they say NRG isn't on this list. You'd hope that they can get through that open system. They've been grinding cash cups.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. They have to go all the way through the open qualifier. They should be in the RMR as a representative, but open qualifiers are crazy, man. Like, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Last couple of things. What's the what's your number one thing you're looking to for Atlanta? You're leaving in a day or so. What should we be looking out for?
I'm really excited to see how the NA teams do. M80's looking good. Complexity's obviously been a world beater. I think that it's a beatable pool of teams in Atlanta. I think that there are some strong contenders. I mean, Monty going to be an interesting one. Gamer Legion has a stand-in, so that weakens them a little bit. There's opportunity here, but I would really like to see the NA teams do well on home soil. I'm really curious to see how M80 do, because I think they're getting to the point where we, you know, with the Slacks edition, we need to see them starting to push for titles. Virtus Pro is really the killer team in that group. Virtus Pro and Monty going to be very difficult to get past, but the games start with BO1s, right? They have a matchup with BO1 against Virtus Pro. Catch them on the right map, catch them off guard. BO1 and MR12 is very winnable.
Virtus Pro is one of the scariest teams to play if you're an underdog. We've talked about them ever since the downfall of Big as the team in which if you can beat them, you're considered a great team at this point. Like if you can beat Jame plays everything so weird and different than everyone else that if you can beat the weird shit Virtus Pro does, you can kind of start winning against a lot of other teams.
I also think there's just going to be a big adjustment to being on LAN, right? M80 got, I think eight.
I think they had like
LAN?
One.
Have they had a LAN since CS2?
Yeah, they were in Pro League.
That was on CS:GO.
Oh yes, yes. No,
yeah, they have not had a LAN since CS2. They've played online. They played CCT. They played Thunderpeck. I don't think they've LAN'd since the swap. So this will be their first LAN. So there is going to be an adjustment to it. The game apparently, haven't had the pleasure of it just yet, but apparently plays much, 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 much better on LAN.
Yeah, from everyone I know that was at Frag 2 weekends ago, I was told it was a lot better than otherwise. I think You got anything you want to shout out?
Watch ESL Challenger Atlanta. Okay. It's going to be fun. If you're in Atlanta and you're watching this, come say hi. I will be the only member of the talent team on location as the sideline reporter. So come say hi. I'll be lonely and looking to talk to people and players. So absolutely come see what's up. It should be a lot of fun. I think the event's going to be a lot of fun. I think that we've got a good crop of teams. I think this is one of the most intriguing crops of teams we've ever had at a Challenger.
It's a weird set of teams. I'm here for it, but it's a weird set of teams.
And I think the Mongols are finally going to get to an event without visa issues. I think I've been told that's not an actual news drop. That's not an actual leak, but I'm really optimistic that they're going to be there, which would be sick. I'm excited for that one. It's going to be fun. Wild World of Counter-Strike is a good time. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah. I also wanted to congratulate Mustache Masters on 100,000 over the last couple of years. Other than that, thank you for coming on, man.
Thank you, and thanks for being part of Mustache Masters for the last 2 years. That's one of the coolest things I do every year. I really appreciate everyone who plays, everyone who comes out, everyone who watches, everyone who donates.
Is there a place people can still donate to if they are so inclined?
I think the fundraiser goes all year. If you go to mobro.co/stashmasters, I don't believe they ever stop taking money, which is understandable for a charity organization. But also keep an eye out for next year. Next November, we'll be back.
Time
to find 200K.
You may be able to get a free win in the first round by facing me.
There you go. Speaking of free wins in the first round, if anyone's attending the NJ Frag, I will be there. Going to see how I play on land. Should be fun.
All right. Thank you, Mike, for coming on.
Happy to do so, man.
A big thank you to Darth Mike for joining us and listening to my bullshit and talking with me about NA and the rest of the world. You can find us all on Twitter at Logan Ramhap, at AZesque. Actually, no, he doesn't get a shout. At Logan Ramhap, at Darth Mike, and at ReadTLDR. We'll be back again next week. I think Elliot and I are back, so it should be normal programming. But we'll talk about Blast World Finals in a little bit more detail than we did today. See ya.